Hello, everybody. My name is Hadiza Binu Daladi. Joining the Chill Sister podcast for the very first time. I'm so excited. It has been fun, and I hope I get to join you guys again in the future.
You will.
So much about my pregnancy journey, dragging men a little, you know, talking about matters arising and one or two things. Honestly, it's an experience, and it was so much fun, and I felt really chilled, you know.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, and you guys, nice to meet you, sis, for the very first time. It's as if I've known you, you know.
You've known me.
And you know, you're very fun to be with. Since we're both in Nigeria, one day we'll hang out.
Yeah.
We'll start, like, Ida, we'll send her selfies.
No, that is not that. I don't share friends.
We have to do it.
Don't worry, we'll do it. We'll do it without you.
You just send me pictures.
Yeah. Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hadiza. Thank you. This is such an honor. Thank you.
Thank
so
you,
much.
Hadiza.
Hey, hey, hey! Hello, boys and girls. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chill Sisters podcast. My name is Rashida.
And I'm Yulsis Ladu. Welcome.
It's a brand new day, a brand new week. Yulsis, what is it? You're shining.
I have to shine when you're at peace. You refuse Nigeria to happen to you. You shine, my sister.
I know. See, you guys, I'm happy today. And
I'm overly happy.
The reason why we are both happy is because we have a guest. Drum roll. We have a guest. Brief introduction. The name of our guest is Hadiza. She will introduce herself in a bit. But you know how I used to say I'm a barracks girl. I knew Hadiza, it's a long time friendship. Okay. Knew Hadiza when we were in the barracks. Very good friend of ours, a family friend actually. I was at Hadiza's wedding. And I can never forget, the day Hadiza was having her wedding was the day I just left camp.
Yeah.
I just left camp and I was looking so black. If I took a picture there, Hadiza, please make sure you don't share that picture anytime. Because our favorite uncle, who is Hadiza's uncle, everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ibi. And I hope he's still everybody's favorite uncle.
He is.
He was kind enough to bring me to the wedding and it was a great time. Ever since we have been in contact. Hadiza, please give us your official introduction of yourself.
And my own is, please, all the bad stories, spill it about Rashida. She's been pestering me here. No, that's my concern here. That's anything you can think of.
Hi, thanks for having me. My name is Hadiza Binu Aladi, skincare and beauty consultant with number one beauty. Yes. So,
if you push her, you push your tax her, you push your collect money.
Don't collect anything. She's mine. I did not hold it.
No, please.
Rashida, let me alone. Oh, okay. I'm a skincare enthusiast also. I'm an entrepreneur. Mm. You know, I think this entrepreneurship that I like to do, if Rashida, if you can remember, since like we've been like Muna Kanana, right from childhood, like selling, you know, remember now, even Islamia, we used to smuggle and go and sell sweets and all that thing. So, yes, I do that too. And for now, I'm looking at other things. I know I have a dream right now that it's scaring me, but I'm putting one or two plans in motion, but I don't want to say anything about it and I don't want to jinx it because I don't want to scare myself out of it. But hopefully, alhamdulillah, inshallah, I'm going to be there. Allah.
Oh, so inshallah.
Then married, I have three kids, all boys.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Super mom.
It's a boy mom.
Please, this is time I gave birth to my first child. And the second one, people were calling me Mama Boys. I said, don't be calling me Mama Boys. I don't want to have all boys. So I don't want that name to follow me. And somehow it followed me. Hi.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You guys, Hadiza, I've been following her to come on the podcast. She has been doing me like this. Like the last time I did.
Hadiza is a celebrity now. You said. You don't know how to.
I know. You know what? The last time I asked her to come, it was threats. I said, Hadiza, this is the last time I will tell you to come on Deep Spot. If you don't come up this, I am not going to ask you again. This is, oh, yes. Sorry.
Let me confess. Actually, you know why, Rashida? It's because I even like you. I didn't block you. It was pregnancy wahala.
You were blocked up.
I know. It was later I now realized that, okay, fair enough. I understand why she didn't come. Hadiza is going to tell us all about it in a bit. She's kind enough to tell us about her pregnancy journey. This is going to be a learning learning process, a learning time for everyone. This is a must listen to episode. If you think that we just come here and do men problem, which we are still going to do. If you think
we'll all we do, because I want to talk about men too. I want to attack them small.
It's not the only thing we do here. We also talk about issues that affect women, and Hadiza is the best person to tell us about it because she has experienced it. We love our women. She has experience.
Women are going through it.
And she's going to say her story. So Hadiza, on the podcast, we usually ask how everybody's week went. Since you're our guest, tell us, how was your week that was?
My week, just like, it's normal. I think I have this routine that's, it's an everyday thing for me. So nothing really exciting happens. I don't know whether it's the town I live in or just the type of person I am. Even I don't know. So it's just there. Normal, you wake up, dress the kids, take them to school, come back, you cool. Nothing happens. It's just the whole normal thing. You just go online. You try to see if anything interesting is happening. That's just it. Think sometimes when people tell me that, oh, I like to hang out with you, maybe because I like to make noise online, I'll say, if you hang out with me, I can be very boring personally. Just come and make noise online.
I will bore your life.
I can bore you. So it's just normal. Nothing too serious like that.
Yeah.
Just normal. Alhamdulillah, I've been in a Niger state. The weather is just so confusing. I don't like the weather. In the morning, I think, you know, it's supposed to be Harmattan, but I think anything from 8. What is 8? 7? Like this hot breeze is already hitting everybody.
Ooh.
And it's very, very sunny.
Yes, and it's windy, but it's mostly like, it's just probably dust. It's like mostly just dust. And I'm the type of person, I like cold. I like, yes.
Come to the UK. You are welcome.
No, not that kind of cold that, you know, but I prefer cold to the heat, honestly. Yeah. I believe with cold, you can manage it. You can put on clothes. You know, you can take hot coffee. You can manage it. But the heat is something.
I get you. Yours is anything exciting. Please, don't tell me photography anymore.
Please tell us.
Your enemies. That's how they'll be revealing themselves. Yes, we know them. How can somebody say I shouldn't talk about something that is part of my life? Please, and you are asking about my week.
I'm only asking
you. You can help me now. You see it.
I know that you're doing your course. You're doing your photo. I'm asking you something.
Gulma that she wants. Is that Gulma that you're looking for?
No, you see,
anyway, it's been
asking
a fantastic
you.
Week. Alhamdulillah. That photography that you don't want me to talk about, I did it.
That's what you were doing.
I did it. Right.
She said she not disturb her, that she's setting up, that she has people coming in.
Don't disturb my life.
That's how she was rushing my conversation.
This rushing Hadiza that she's talking about, it was like 45 minutes, mind you. That's the rushing for Rashida. Yes. In case you think it's 1 minute. I had several shoots, alhamdulillah. The weather, I love reporting about the weather. Abuja has been hot, really hot. But even the light situation has been okay. Yeah, the weather has been hot. Hot. Then it's dusty and in the morning you wake up. I look at Chinkazami, in Kazami, you are okay. What else? Yeah, it's been a normal week, alhamdulillah.
You know, last week I was saying, oh, the sun is out, I'm happy, my happy place. The weather just did me, kidding. UK weather is in a mess. It's bloody horrible. My week was nothing happened. Nothing interesting happened this week. The weather has been horrible. Like, I didn't do anything. I just...
Did the boys disturb you this week?
We've all been busy. Nobody's even... So I have the schedule that we follow, and how we follow it has been amazing. I'm trying to be stress-free. Don't shout too much. Just please. Calm down. Everything will be fine. I just tell myself everything will be fine. Don't stress yourself. And you guys, trending topic. People see that topic of Onija Robinson that went to Pakistan to look for the love of her life that has been trending.
That's the most chaotic 1 week I've seen on the internet.
Have you seen that story? And I didn't want to talk about it because I was waiting for a developing story. I don't want to talk about it as something we develop. I will now not come and talk about it. So if you don't know the story, let me just give you brief the lady, she was chatting on the internet. Actually, she was catfishing. Mm-hmm. She was putting a different image. She had this long blonde hair. And she was, she's
beauty.
33 years old. She was chatting with a 19 years old. In fact, some people say he was 18.
I even saw 16. I don't know which one to believe, Sha.
She was catfishing him. Love was going strong, everything. They eventually got married via Zoom or something through the internet. She was in America. Wow. He was in Pakistan. And you know, this Pakistan have this, like, people in America, they see them as this high and mighty, like, okay. A young boy, he was already thinking of his future, 1 or 2 years.
He wants
already...
to Japan now.
He wants to Japan. Do you know those people actually Japan more than us?
Of course now. Sure. Of course.
But Nigerians get mouth.
Everywhere will be shouting.
If you see
that's
the statistics, we are like number 10.
That's our problem. You want to show that you know what's up. That's why he has already planned his future. He's going to have his green card. After everything, American woman, that's what they call her. American woman flew in from the United States to Pakistan to go and meet the love of her life. She's... He gave her the address and everything, and what will happen? They just saw her in their front door. The mother opened the door. She saw the woman. This is not the woman that you said.
My son got married in law.
Even the boy, he saw the woman. He was shocked. He said, No. This is not who I have been chatting. You are supposed to have blood.
What I ordered versus what I got.
Mm. Exactly. The mother, she dragged her son, closed the door. She took her son, she ran away. American woman said that she has come to her husband's house. She has come to be the love of her life. She's not going anywhere. Mm. That's how she started camping in front of And the house is like this ghetto.
Okay, so.
The house is like this ghetto. So every angua, everybody know everybody. Your door is here.
Face me, I face you.
Face me, I face you. And this is the head shake for me. So... She started camping. Before you know it, what's on the street, what started spreading, everything. Before you know it, the media got involved, and she said she's not going to go anywhere.
She said she not going anywhere. Oh.
Some people have audacity.
The audacity for me, actually, when I saw it first, Rashida, I thought it was a skit. My sister had to draw my attention. Like, she kept on saying, I said, why do you keep saying it's real? I said, no, it cannot be. It can never be real.
All of a sudden, media attention. She became a celebrity.
She held a press conference.
She became a celebrity. Celebrity in Pakistan. Tata said that her, she's not going to say anything, that they have to give her how many? $2,000
$20,000.
$20,000
every day.
Every day before she says anything. In fact, she started saying they need roads, they need buses, that she's going to build.
Yes, she's going to repair this country. Me and my husband. I say, which husband?
The clown.
The media, Hadiza, you say she's a clown. The media presence was crazy. That they were putting
She had the press conference, so come and see Mike's.
Press conference.
That was how... to travel to Dubai. Dubai, her and her husband.
They are going for honeymoon. That's how... her son from America said that she has a mental case, that he's a son, and that she had a mental case.
How old is the boy? Because he's 33 years.
You know, they give birth early.
Allegedly.
She looks more than 33, but she says she's 33. What am I to argue?
The point that they give birth early.
Yeah. That's another point. But what am I to argue with a woman that wants to be 33 for the rest of her life? I love it.
My sister.
So that was how they said, okay, since word has come that she has mental issues, they took her to the mental health center. Very big one. There's this respected guy that does this work. Everybody is respecting him. They took her there. American lady ran away from there and went back to her...
to her husband's house.
To her husband's house. And they still did not... they still did not open the door for her. She still was camping outside. She camped there.
I'm sure the people were tired.
They were tired.
They will never try it again.
That's how, what is
he,
this?
That boy will never, he will never
he will try. If he see any internet love, he will run away. That's how the guy that was in charge of the mental, this thing, he took her, he said he wanted to buy her McDonald's. She said she wanted McDonald's. They took her to the McDonald's place. As the guy was about to order, she said, hold up, I will make my order myself. Two large chips, two large burgers, drink. She made like big order. Even the person that was doing the order was wondering, like, is she the one that is going to eat all these things? And anytime they want to talk, she reports them that she's the one that is going to talk. That's how they lodge her in one hotel. The woman was about to, this, she just pointed, she just wanted to, she just, as the woman was about, just said, this is the owner of the hotel. This lady, she's the owner of the hotel. That's how the woman said, I'm not the owner, I'm not the owner. She said, no. She insisted that she was the owner of the hotel. The woman said, I'm not the owner of this hotel. She said, to cut the long story short, the people of Pakistan, this is the first time I'm seeing like Pakistan in the news for like, they had their time. Trending.
You get.
They had their time this past week. She has finally finished her Pakistan tour and she has entertained them and she's now back in the US. So I'm happy to report that this story.
Rashida, did you see how they escorted her to make sure she entered that plane?
She left.
Please pack your things and leave. We are tired.
Somebody escorted her to the door of the plane. Oh, she has entered.
It was so
She can come back.
It was so funny.
Another thing that I noticed is, so Pakistanis, you people can be this patient with a woman.
Oh no, they were so patient.
So because they, she's an American.
I believe this was a foreigner.
Oh, how can I end this story without telling you guys this? That was how different people started calling, you know, that since that other small boy does not want that, they want to. They said even one guy with one eye that could not see clearly, he was delusional. He said that if he marries her, they will take him to America. He will do his eye operation, that he is going to stay. He was about...
You think everybody in America has money?
Thank you very much.
So many
men were coming that they were going to marry her. Very delusional thing, but it was, what a time.
Well, she did.
I hope she gets all the help she needs, and because she
actually needs help.
Yeah, she needs
Rashida,
help.
And Rashida, what's this?
Her makeup was crazy. Her hijab was mad.
This white powder on the forehead. I don't understand what was happening.
I don't know. Maybe it's the culture she's trying to do. Oh, and she was very good.
Nonsense
maybe
culture,
she uses red powder.
No, you don't understand.
Red powder for married women.
Another point.
Red powder.
And she could say,
yes, just on the forehead.
Yeah, she does like.
she looks like just from the eyebrow here, forehead completely white.
Yeah, she will do powder. Then, and she was always making up. One thing I would commend her for, she can say, Assalamu alaikum.
You know what? I think people overindulge her. She got so much attention.
She got so much attention.
I just hope.
And she was there since October.
But she's actually crazy. I will go with her son that says maybe she's crazy.
No. She has mental issues.
No, she does.
That is not normal.
It's not normal. But she had a time of her life.
At least she had an adventure.
She had an adventure, and the people liked her. They treated her well. Please let another person not come and do this thing, because somebody will just decide they want to do free trip and go to one country
and try it.
Nigeria. They will try that same thing in Nigeria. You will see.
Don't think about it. Don't try it. You do this rubbish.
She had a time of her life. I'm happy for her.
Yeah. I wish she gets the mental care that she needs.
She really
needs.
Do you know, I won't even be surprised if at the end of the day, all these things turns out to be like a prank or a joke. I won't be surprised, because nothing on the internet actually surprises me anymore.
Me too.
Honestly,
nothing surprises me.
Nowadays, I'm not even, like, if something is trending or something is happening, I'm not always quick to give my opinion or any hot take. I used to be like 2-3 days to marinate. Let this what we have from what other side is
marinate.
Yes. Because before you know,
some stories are hot.
End up looking stupid for saying
It has happened a lot of
times.
People
can do anything for this, like, 1 minute fame. People can go to any length. We are seeing it. So I won't even be shocked. I won't be surprised, honestly.
It's crazy.
But knowing them, assuming it was maybe our people people, we can say it was a skit, maybe they planned it, but knowing them, like, in a way, they are like, especially this American, like, they have this sincere part of them, they are sincere, so they do things the way it's actually like, this is who they are.
Yeah,
and they don't think that's anything. But the Nigerian lady that would have done that, she would start thinking, okay, I have people back at home, what would they think of me and all that. But then they don't care. Yeah, they don't just do her thing.
Onija not send anybody.
And they were even calling her name. They were just saying Onija. That name sounds like a Nigerian name.
Me too. It's a
I think she's a Nigerian descent because that's a Nigerian name.
What we have in Nigeria is Onoja. Who knows?
Who knows? Or maybe it was a catfish name.
Oh, another point.
Who knows?
Let's go to the street before Hadiza starts with her story, okay?
Okay.
So Hadiza,
now
I know when you start your story, it's going to be to the end of the episode. So let's just go on the street. I want you to solve one dilemma.
And by that, he means men problem.
I'm just going to look for a good one, you sis. It's not every time man problem.
You love solving men problem. Man problem.
Please tell me about the men problem.
Okay, do you guys agree with this statement that if you give 100 married women 50 million each to establish themselves in 2 weeks, 95 of them will leave their marriages? Do you agree?
I agree.
Yes, if those women are Nigerian women. Why are you she laughing?
No, you see the way you like clarify immediately.
Yes.
Like we Nigerian women, they suffer.
Because when you say women, well, I'm referring to women all over the world. And women all over the world, the way we think is differs,
different,
the culture is different.
Why
many women marry across the world is different. Why in Nigeria is a whole different game.
My sister, they leave 50 million.
Wait, I have a question then. Is it that we women, we don't make our own money, or what is the problem? Is there somebody tying our destiny somewhere, Nigerian women?
Yes. No.
See, that's why me and you are always fighting, Rashida. You know something, you be playing diplomacy. We are always
I'm not playing diplomacy. I'm just trying to understand for people that don't
understand. We have a visitor. Let's pretend we love each other.
Let's pretend.
It's always peace and light here.
In case we are acting like we don't know what we are doing here, you know? I'm just trying to ask the question.
No, but Rashida, you know. Okay, the usual story now. You are working and maybe he's doing well, average you well, and be like, me, my wife will not work. That is rubbish ego. Oh, and you stop working now. How much are they paying you? I'm going to pay you that salary. We know after a few months, that salary is going to stop. All in the bid to stop you from working, because that's where they see the control. If they don't control you financially, how do they think? Because in quote control, how do they think they are going to control you? Then some women are foolish. Love. She eventually leave that.
Yeah, world. I think women compromise a lot when it comes to marriage. Yeah.
That's part of our nature. We're raised like that. So she leaves the work, right? Years goes by. She has a child or two or not, right? Then she's like, one day, what is even happening? I don't suffer. This school that I even went safe, I'm not even using it. See me now, even if I want to buy a hair cream, I must wait for this guy to give me all that, you know. And you're an adult, whether you like it or not, you have that thought. You dismiss it or not, that's another case entirely, right? But you are going to have that thought. Then you now give that woman 50 million naira and say, go.
Oh God! So you mean that it's only money that is really tying plenty of people?
Do you know one thing? Again, it's not about the money. I think in this case is the amount of money now, because like you said, some men, they like to use like this money to control their women. But if you look at the average Nigerian woman, setting, I'm talking about across all tribes in Nigeria, like north, south, east, west. The average Nigerian woman, like, we've been groomed like marriage is do or die affair.
Wallahi.
Yes.
We were raised like that.
Yes, we were raised
west,
like that.
East, Gabadaya.
Everywhere, if you look at it like that. And you'll be surprised. It's not only those women that don't have any means of livelihood that are being controlled. Even women, I've seen women that have PhDs that are doing well in their career. They have money.
Auntie, I have seen.
And they are being controlled. Like, they will submit their whole salary. They don't yes. have a seat.
I wanted to mention that. I wanted to say, it's not the ones that are submitting salary.
And I've seen women that don't even earn shingbai, and you know, they are doing well. Mm. You know, yeah, yes, they have a very healthy self-esteem. Mm. But the average of it is mostly, like Rashida said, that a woman compromise. Because me, sometimes when I talk, if I say something, you call me a feminist. The next thing you say, but this woman is no longer a feminist. I think I'm somewhere in between.
Mm.
Yeah. The thing is, I believe that our whole life, as a woman, everybody has their own role. I don't believe in gender equality. I just believe in equity, not equality. So I personally believe that men have their own role and women have their own role. Yes. And why I think we're having issues nowadays is because we women were trying to, like, you know, do like what the men do. And these men nowadays, they are giving up their role. They are acting like women. If you see a man that will come and tell you, okay, you must do 50-50. You are going to do 50-50. Automatically, you want to be a woman like me too.
But that 50-50, Hadiza, do they even do 50-50? Because whenever they talk about 50-50, it's just the financial aspect.
Yes,
so if you're doing 50-50, it should be everything, like everything regarding the chores, everything. But do they do that? They don't. Once they mention 50-50, you know, it's about just bill.
Mm. Men will tell you that they expect you to pick up bills. Already, you're the only one that went through pregnancy. You're the only one that went through childbirth. You're the only one that is taking care of these kids. You are also working. And you still notice one thing with Nigerian women. See, Nigerian women were very entrepreneurial.
Mm-hmm.
You see a woman, she's working and she's also doing other business. You see, most women have two or more sources of income. Unlike men that, okay, once they lose their job or they're just doing this white collar job, that is it. They feel, okay, this thing is beneath me. I cannot do it. Women will do it. So you see a woman, she's doing all those things. She's supporting. She's buying clothes for her kids. She's buying for herself. She's doing all these things. Already, she's overwhelmed. She's exhausted. You understand? Yeah, but maybe on her own, maybe she feels she can't do it. Then you're not giving her... How much did you say they are going to give her?
50 million.
Do you feel, I have this 50 million. What am I going to do with this man? Is it because of the many small 50... Carry your 50% and just get her from me.
Even without the 50%, right?
Yes.
But then,
and she's not going to wash clothes again. No. She's not going to think of
what are we going to eat today.
What are we going to eat?
I strongly believe it's only those that maybe they got, because I believe why you actually get married in the first place determines how you are going to act in that marriage and how long that marriage is going to hold. If you don't marry for the sake of Allah, or you don't marry for the sake of God, for the right reasons, then that's where you start having issues like 50 million naira or $50 million. That is going to be your priority. That's what is going to be important to you. You'll be considering. And most people nowadays, let's be sincere, people are not getting married nowadays because of God. They want
to raise a family. How many men have that money? You come online and you see some internet trolls talking about women are gold diggers. Women are gold diggers. Is it not your security man that is marrying every weekend? Poor people.
Thank you.
Marrying.
Women,
so
are
where is the money?
Guys,
where is
every Saturday?
Where is the gold? Right? So they will paint this picture, and the upsetting thing for me is you see some pick me women supporting men when
those women annoy me.
It's rubbish. Do you understand? Something that
they are plenty. You put it, it's a joke. Pick me women, they are plenty.
See them now.
Let me tell you one thing about
the sad part.
Yeah.
You know the sad part, men don't like him. You know, men love a challenge. It's the one that they say, me, I don't like
confirm.
You guys actually, I will be a housewife. Oh, I'll wash your clothes. I don't like this one, right? So what is the problem?
You know, they used to say that men, they like peace. Men don't like peace.
They don't
like peace. Men like women that will be stressing their brain every time. When they come, they'll just be causing chaos, be nagging, be complaining. They only complain that, oh, my wife nags too much, but they actually love it. The day that she doesn't nag, that house, something will be What is happening? They always love women that are just giving their problem, making their brain
buzz.
They keep them agile. And I wanted to add something. You see how we used to say the women are becoming like men now? It's because if you have a man that is doing what he's supposed to do, you will be a baby girl for life.
Yes.
That is it.
Your feminine energy will be there to radiate.
But if he's lacking in an aspect, you are trying to compromise and fill in that gap that he's lacking in. For example, you have a man who doesn't really have money like that. You see the woman, she's the one doing everything, trying to make sure that they live a certain standard, and she's now becoming masculine because he's not able to. This thing is supposed to be like, you are supposed to complement each other. Me, I always say it on this podcast that nobody's fighting with anybody. I'm not trying to be a man.
I need clarification. Rashida, I need clarification. Why is it that you regard a woman taking care of bills
yes,
as masculine?
Why? Go and buy Coke, bills on me. Go and buy
Chill. Right, and this is the problem we have, woman and that's the reason why
the fact that the woman is complimenting. Why does it have to be attached to a financial?
Yeah, yes, why do you call that masculinity?
No, I'm saying it because we are talking about this in the Nigerian concept.
Yeah, but Rashida, what I'm trying to say is this is the perception, this is the majority of people's perception, right? When they say a woman is behaving like a man, when you ask them what is it that she's doing, you realize is these things will paying bills and whatnot. Why? Because we have single mothers.
Because the Quran has because if we take it back to the Quran has said that this is the responsibility of a man. The moment a man marries you, he has to do all these things.
But do you know one thing? Both of you know multiple truths cannot coexist.
Yeah.
You are both not wrong. The thing is, like now, okay, let me see, for those that are not Muslims, you know, Nigerians now we have Muslims, Christians, and all that.
Yeah.
So you see, for the Christians now, what I notice that they usually say is a woman should be a helpmate. She should be a helper to her husband. But when you ask them, define that helper, the men are always trying to make you understand, the helper is through bills. Why does it already they don't realize that this woman is already helping your life?
I don't even think it's through bills.
It's not through bills, but that is what they want to believe. That's what they want, the agenda they want to push forward. Already you have this woman, she's bearing your kid, she has risked her life. And her everything on the line to make you a family man. She's giving you the most important thing that marriage was created for, companionship.
Yeah.
You have that. You have somebody, you are able to make your money. You are able to go and face other activities because you have somebody that is holding down the home for you.
Of course.
That should be there. She will calm you down. She will give you advice when you need another thing. So what other help are you referring to?
They underestimate it.
Yeah, they underestimate it. If you are going to be cooking your own meals, you are going to pay a chef. How much are you going to spend? You have somebody that is doing it for you at home, free of charge.
Yeah.
Even if she's working. Some women even wash their husband's clothes. How much are you going to pay for that service?
Of course.
Do you understand? Clean your home and other things. So if you are going to monetize all those things that she's doing, already you already have all the help you need. But no, they believe if she's not paying DSTV bills, if she's not paying school fees, then she's not doing enough. I think it all boils down to women. But in a way, I don't also blame these men. I blame with the women. Do you know why I say I blame with the women? Because men have said this agenda of you are not woman enough. Okay, women are making money, but you're not woman enough if you're not picking up bills in the home. And we women, we also believed them. We helped them to run with that narrative because we ourselves, you see, even women, if a woman is trying to insult on that woman, she'll say, you this housewife, that you are your own God given responsibility. Being a housewife is easy. It's not a joke. Do you know your responsibility? Do you know your role in the society? Do you know what it means to have a child, to groom a child? The first unit in the community is the family unit.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a woman who is mentally stable and who is doing well that will groom these children, what kind of people are going to have in society? So already they are
playing. We are already seeing the kind of people we are
of
having.
A woman. They are playing the role of a woman, and we women have accepted it. Do you understand? So that's why it is easy for you to throw jibes and them to they are taking it like if you're not making money, you're not woman enough, which is not actually supposed to be so because your worth as a woman is not tied to that.
Yeah.
We understand how the economy is. Let us be sincere. In Nigeria of today, if you say you want to leave the man to do everything, it's not easy.
It's not.
Especially with this inflation and other things. You understand? Yes, we are going to help. But when you're trying to compare, okay, this one is doing more. If you're not doing this one, you're not doing that one. No, already we are already doing enough. So these little extras that we are going to do, you don't need to shame women for not doing it because there's already so much that we are doing.
I refuse to agree to that. A woman doesn't contribute. It's a lie. It's a complete lie. And it has nothing to do with Nigerian of today. Right from our mother's time, they were contributing, right?
Yeah.
Because she didn't pay school fees. There's no way your mother will not buy you clothes. Your father might buy. She contributes. We always say this in this podcast. The domestic chores, right? When a woman does it, it's nothing. So these things, the way we talk about it, yakamata mchanza, we should stop saying it's nothing, right?
That's it's something. It's a big deal. That's why we pay house.
Okay, when you have a maid, you pay her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's work. But when the wife does it or when the mother does it at home, that's a contribution. When nobody does the domestic chores, the house will not be livable. You cannot cohabit in that space. So it's work.
Yes.
But because they are unpaid work. So we should stop saying our mothers didn't contribute. The one that pains me, and I don't blame them, is the way society regarded it. You take care of your child. Then you hear a man saying, I help babysit the children. Which babysit? Your own children?
Your
Who
own
is
kids?
Babysit? Your own kids? It's somebody from the outside that will babysit. You are not, you are taking care of your children. You are not helping
what you're supposed to
you're
do.
You're not helping.
I think
your
even
wife.
Sometimes we women are the problem. Because
like Hadiza rightly said,
you are the one feeding into all these narratives.
Yes.
Because your husband will go out and cheat, and you will be the one begging him and say, okay, maybe it's because I did not
what
do
did
something
I do?
Right.
See, you know, it's reached the point. Like personally, if I read some of the stories or like especially these people that come with this anonymous, you know, all these Facebook groups, you know.
Yeah,
people come with all this anonymous story. I will start boiling. I will meet my husband. You say, okay, calm down. You are feeding yourself with negative energy. See, I had to just like block all those things because it annoys me.
Yeah,
I used to
know
it's actually
it's
annoying.
It's triggering.
Right? I used to believe that many people are not self-aware. Do you know the way I used to feel? I studied my husband. If I want to come back to this world again, I'll come back as a woman because I believe there's nobody as important as me on this earth. Because yeah. I know
women
my
are the prize, but do we know it?
Of course, I'm doing you a favor.
But they don't
like
believe
Mufti Mek once said, somebody out there is dying to have your wife. I held that statement to my chest. Every time.
Rashida, hot girl.
Hey, love her, girl. I held that statement.
It was just yesterday I was telling Rashida, I said, you too like love.
No, love is beautiful when you are with the right person. No, we can't,
yes,
we can't
yes,
just
yes,
decide not to love
yeah.
love. Love is beautiful.
You know one thing I believe, like me, you know in the Quran, I always tell people, anything we argue, they'll say, don't be religion. I'll say, see, everybody have principles and beliefs that they live by. So if you're a feminist, that is your belief, that is your principle, that is what you are living by.
Yeah.
If you are an atheist, you have your belief, you are living by it. So why if I say that in my religion is this, you want to shame me or you want to shut me up,
I want to
live by it. And you know one thing, the Quran has already been said, Allah said it, that if we don't follow his word, we don't follow his law, we do what one we want to do, then there is going to be chaos. And I think that is where we are now. Because everybody wants to have an opinion. Nobody wants to follow the ultimate opinion, like the ultimate law. You want to do things the way you think it's supposed to be done. They need to do things the way they think it should be done. And you see people no longer married again for the sake of God. So once that, the foundation is already faulty. So anything that we are seeing now is just, you know, an aftermath of our decisions and our intentions. That's just it.
Women should read. You should know your rights as a Muslim woman.
Yes.
What did the Quran say about it? What did the Hadith say about it? There's a reason why all these principles have been laid down so that we should follow them. You cannot just say, because my mother did this, I would blindly do this. Because every day we learn and unlearn. Everything that you think that this doesn't sound good, this doesn't make sense, please just drop it. Do something that makes sense to you. Do something that sounds good to you. Because somebody will be listening to this podcast now, and I know that person is a woman. She'll be lifting her nose up. Oh, these people sooner, they are showing that they know more than everybody. They are woke women. I'm not saying that you should fight anybody. Just do something that will please you, that is good for you, and it's not diverting from your principles and what the Quran has taught you. And that's it.
The ultimate thing, why Abu Sabada Allah, just do things
for the
sake
of Allah.
Even you as a person, like now, even we are all human beings, we are not 100%. I tell my hubby sometimes, if you're going to look at me, you're going to look at Hadiza, you want to do things because of Hadiza, I will do something one day, I know I'm going to misbehave and all that, then where is everything going to fall in place? So if you are going to do something, just remove your eye from it. Just do it because of God. And I believe that God is not going to just leave you like that because you are doing things for his sake. Then also know your word. Seek for knowledge. Islamic knowledge, Western knowledge, all are very important.
We always
knowledge.
Say it on this podcast.
Yes.
Women need to research. You cannot just stay.
And one thing
you
again
cannot
with
just
women.
Stay. Can you research for yourself?
Check your cycle. If you are following women that believe, you know, if your husband is beating you, it is normal your husband to be beating you every day.
If you go, another woman will come and take your place.
Yeah,
who
if you believe
you come and enter.
Let if you're always in the midst of such women, you too, you will become one of those women. So it's very, I mean, I'm very, very selfish with the type of people I let into my life. Yes, I'm very intentional and selfish. People I allow into my space.
Of
so everybody
course.
Should do
yes.
The people you mingle with, their ideas become their ideas, you know. Before you know, start acting like them. There's no one
you
way to do this thing.
Now.
Well, just be intentional.
Just be intentional. Put yourself
be selfish. Women,
are very
you need to
men are very selfish.
Somebody said this 2025, we want all women to have audacity. Let's shock the next person.
Women like to say that men lie. Do you know that men don't actually lie? They show you who they are, but we just refuse to see it.
Thank you very much.
Very audacious.
Somebody is showing you A, he's saying B. Is what he's saying that you are believing. You are not believing what he's showing you.
Honestly, I like the audacity that men have, and I think it's something that women, we need to emulate.
We need it.
Because they know how to preserve themselves.
You have to be selfish.
Women need to learn self-preservation, honestly. They need to learn it. Let me give one small amoeba gist like that.
We love amoeba gist.
We are here for it.
There is someone that I know like that. You know, this man married her, and he doesn't allow her work. He doesn't allow her to do her business. I think there was a time that she had to open another WhatsApp, you know? The husband doesn't know about that WhatsApp that she have, because that's where she's hiding to be selling one or two things. I'm telling you, that's how bad it was. But normal, the whole long length and breadth of it, he doesn't want her working or doing business, none of the above. Like, he wants to be the one providing. And he has shown her that, okay, that is what he wants from his wife. Okay, no problem now. They are living peacefully. It's their business. At least we tell people, you do what works for you, but fine.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
But now we're not married anymore now that he wants to marry another wife. That is not the issue. Where is the issue? This woman that he wants to marry, she's working class. She has her own car.
Of course.
Because the first person, she allowed it. If from the beginning now, maybe before he wanted to marry her, she had told Oga, me, I'm going to work or I'm going to do business, I must. And you know, they've laid that foundation and you didn't accept it. But you know, wife material, virtuous woman, and it's not me that would advise you not to be a virtuous woman. But now they are bringing in somebody now that
this same
working.
Thing that you just said. With that one from? I relate with this person. I've seen this person eye to eye, ball to ball.
Thank God it's not me. It will never be me, inshallah.
I'm telling you, all of a sudden they want to upgrade. I call it upgrading.
Obviously, she's not comfortable with the fact that, you know, there are women that don't want to actually do anything. There are women like that.
Yeah.
So obviously, she's not one of such women for her to hide and be doing her business with on that line. That is not what she wants for herself. But now he's bringing somebody. They say that girl is working. She has her own car. So where do you want to now start from?
Well, the competition is crazy. The competition is high.
Where do you want to start from? And it's not now you want to start it because
that's so sad. I think men need to do better. Talking about marrying second wife, you guys should hear this one. It says, hi, I need advice and I don't want to lay a foundation that I will regret in the future. My husband has another wife. I am the second and he married me recently. He said every day I have to go and greet his first wife in the morning. We don't live in the same house. It's a semi-detached duplex, but in the same compound. I don't want to start what I cannot continue. And mind you, the wife is less than 10 years older than me. And the fact that I am the second wife does not make me any less okay. She's trying to say that it doesn't make her less of a wife. Or is she reading too much meaning into it? What are your thoughts, guys?
Okay. You know what? From the beginning, you know, no matter how we don't like it, you know, if you are the first wife, you want to feel like the second wife owes you, you know, that respect and all that thing. Truthfully and Islamically, is you're all equals. You're all wives. Do you understand? So now the thing is, we don't know the agreements that he had with his wife before he married you. That is why marriage is a contract. Before you go in, there are some things you need to discuss. It's not about going to buy shawarma.
Thank you. Thank you.
There are some things you need to be discussing. There's no you are dating somebody, you know, you want to marry him. It's different when you are going to marry somebody as the only wife and when this man already has wife or wives. You know, the players are more. So there are more things you need to be discussing. Okay, are we going to be living together? You discuss these things, you know. Then you ask questions from the beginning now. Okay, the mistake has been made. Maybe he didn't tell her that, okay, you need to come and be greeting the first wife every day.
He dares not tell her before marriage.
You know, one thing I think with people, there's one thing I told one of a friend of mine, you know, sometimes they say we used to give bad advice. It's not bad advice. When she said something, I told her, what are you actually afraid of? You know, that's what women are always scared of. Okay, let me not say no. And if I say no, he's going to chase me out. Most of the time, nothing is going to happen. Men like to test their boundaries. They like to test. They want to see how much you can take. So sometimes they will do something. And once you take it from the beginning, that is all. You've laid foundation for a lot of nonsense to follow suit. So this is the time now to stand her ground. Respectfully,
him because he's still a husband. So respectfully, make him understand that this thing is not something that is going to be sustainable, and it's not something that this is, they are trampling on her rights. If there are people that he listens to, she should involve them in this issue. But once she starts it, it's going to start from greeting. Before you know, they'll start giving you her clothes to wash. Before you know,
she's going to graduate.
That's just it. So it's now, this is the time to say no, respectfully, no, I can't do it. No, I'm also a wife. I love you. I'm going to respect your wife, but I don't need to go and be greeting her. Let her say no. Heaven's not going to come down.
I know.
It's not going to come down. And women don't suffer, sha.
My dear.
So...
Heaven is like, not going to come down.
Nothing is coming down. Like I always say, last, everybody will be fine.
Yes.
Everybody will be fine. See, is he finished?
As a first wife, I don't even want anybody to come and greet me. I don't even want to smell you.
Stay in your house.
Oh, Hadiza, I say face. I don't want to smell you. Smell.
I don't want to smell anybody. So, like Hadiza said from the beginning, she said it's not about eating shawarma, and it's true, right? It's not like you guys are both unmarried, you'll be newlyweds, this is the first time for you. You then enter some place, this new place, you don't want to know what is happening there first.
Mm.
How when are they run this thing? You don't know.
Yeah.
Right?
Very important.
About pre-wedding shoot, photo shoot, and what else. I'm using photo shoot because I'm a photographer. You have to ask questions so that Onija or Onaja will not happen to you. What you ordered versus what you got. Even aside that, the person you are outside and person you become when you marry, totally different people. But this one, self, is like the culture in their house. Which one is it? You go and be greeting first wife now? From where to where? Come on, Muna, boarding school? Senior, these are
you see, you see, apart I'm from suspect, that,
I'm suspecting way... one tribe, but I don't want to say it.
Don't say it, please.
I will not say
don't
it.
Don't come and cut something here.
Don't shake the table. You see,
and
it goes both ways, you know. Even the first wife, when they are bringing another wife, you that you are bringing another wife, you should have your
go
plans
and do your things.
Apart from Rashida, that, have your plans. Let us know what we are doing because our life has changed. The rules and regulation. How are we going?
Rashida,
to
don't vibrate. Right.
If it was before, maybe I think when I was my early 20s, I think Magana, all this second wife, third wife, it used to ride me up. But honestly, the space I am in now, where I am at right now. I don't, it's not as if I don't care, but it won't ride me up because I have a goal. Yes,
you know, prayer point has to change. The prayer point you are doing before is not the same prayer point you will do. You have to
if you are doing the same prayer self, there's a problem.
Yes,
there's a big problem. It means there's no growth whatsoever in your life, right? Mentally, all the least. My second point will be we are even looking at it from the greeting wife angle. The first one might not want all this rubbish.
Thank you.
Maybe she's still upset. This is the way to compensate her. That is what do you understand? So maybe she
said Muna Pinchy that these are just said that one man said that his two wives that they are close to each other, that he does not like it, that he thinks they are planning to kill him. Is this same thing? Are you saying men like peace? Men don't like peace. I don't think they like peace. They don't.
There's even one of my cousins was just telling me that the husband, if he comes back in the night, he hears maybe the two wives they are fighting, he will now go and buy Fanta and come and sit down, be laughing and be sipping this Fanta. But if he comes back and he didn't see them
entertainment
fighting,
now, Rashida. What are you saying?
They are fighting over him. Is that ego? Is
that golden boy?
Golden boy. Is that wanting to feel that they are important? Like, okay, I have these two women fighting for my attention. This is my bad mind. You know, I always have bad mind. What my bad mind is thinking. My bad mind this week is thinking that what makes people think that women don't find other men attractive, like married women don't find other men attractive.
Of course they do.
What but makes you think that
control their urge?
There's a tribe that women married more than two husbands.
Yes,
you've already said it yourself, Rashida. Your question, you've given yourself answer. The thing is, you've said if. So for the fact that we are not in the Islamic sense of it, the fact that you are not allowed to marry two men. So we're not even it doesn't mean that it's impossible, but I believe Hausa used to say magani kar ayi kar afara. So women, because we know that we can't have two husbands, you know, so we avoid it, you know.
You don't even think about it. It's not something
because
men, they know that they can marry up to four women at a time.
I get it.
So it's easier for them to entertain
anything
because at least at the end of the day, I can end up marrying her. But you know that you don't have that.
You don't have that.
What's the point?
There was even the point.
But I'm just trying to say that if women could have, they will.
Ah.
If women could, I strongly believe women, I think men are even more patient than we women, honestly. If women could, I think a woman will even have two bedrooms and put four men in the house. In Bazaar, you can leave. You know how can you can be that.
Can you please leave? Can you excuse us?
Have you not seen the video of that woman that has like three husbands? She's an American woman or so. She has three husbands.
I just folded my arm and say, see this woman.
Enjoy.
She has three husbands. She said,
The men were cooperating.
They were cooperating. Small jealousy here and there, but they're cooperating.
Nothing to.
It's the audacity that we're talking about.
All of that, we see that one will be. Yes, one will massage her leg. She will touch, she will kiss this one. She will kiss this one. I say,
A queen and mom.
I don't want to be that kind of queen. I beg.
No.
God, I beg.
Yeah, I see the power. I can't.
I beg.
Who has energy for that?
No.
You guys, we are done on the streets. Let's go to something more important that affects women, that is about us. This episode is about we women, and we are going to talk about us and the struggles we go through. And the best person to tell us about this is somebody who has lived it, who has experienced it. Hadiza has three baby boys, and her last baby, she's congratulations, Hadiza. She has
congratulations.
Yeah.
Hadiza doesn't even look like somebody that has one child.
Please, even she stops. I want to look older than everybody.
Don't look. He's alive.
Thank you.
So Hadiza, please tell us about your pregnancy journey and what you went through and the struggles. We are making you relieve those moments, but please, it's going to teach other women.
If it was before, alhamdulillah, I've reached a place that I can even talk about it and, you know, and laugh, you know, if it was before, you know, I wouldn't, but now, wallahi, it's nothing again. Yeah. So alhamdulillah. I think it's good that women, you know, we have this culture of we don't need to say some things, you know, some things are sacred. But I think there are some things that we need to speak up so that other people can learn. Because if not that it happened to me, you know, there's an issue of primary infertility and secondary infertility. You know, the memo was, okay, alhamdulillah, I got married early. I think I got married 22. My plan, I would have finished giving birth to all my kids for 30. You get that kind of a thing. You believe that you did not live a reckless life, alhamdulillah. And, you know, your first pregnancy was easy. So you wouldn't think that you have issues with infertility till it starts happening to you. So I think after I had my first baby, Adnan, I think that was in 2015. So normal now, that is after a year plus, I think I was willing to start taking in again. And I never went on any family planning. I never did family planning because I can fear. But I used to hear stories of the women that did family planning. Some would say they'd be bleeding for how many days, this, that.
Yeah.
So I never did it. I was just doing the natural method. So when I was, we're ready to have our second child, I took in, alhamdulillah. Then before you know it, the first miscarriage. So I didn't even know what it was. I was in the hospital. I just knew that I went to ease myself and I saw blood. I just told my husband, blood, this thing is not supposed to be normal now. She, I'm pregnant. I'm not supposed to be menstruating. Okay, let's just go to the hospital. Went to the hospital. The doctor scanned and he looked at me and said, okay, threatened abortion. I was like, who is threatening? What's why?
Yeah, that's what they call it.
No, that's the term that they do call it. I said, okay, I said, to give me injection and give me something so the baby will stay. And he was like, no, it doesn't work like that. If it's going to stay. But if it's going to go, nothing's going to happen. You can't do anything about it. I was like, okay, no problem. And I just went home. Then he said, if the bleeding doesn't stop, come back tomorrow. And next morning, if the bleeding doesn't stop, I was like, okay, fine. So I now went to another hospital again. You know, second opinion. That one doesn't know what he's saying.
Of course.
I went to a qualified doctor. I think because the next day, the bleeding didn't stop and it came with this serious cramp. So I went to the doctor and the doctor said, Hadiza, because that was when I did my first antenatal. And I don't like going there because, you know, he's a specialist and the place is always, if you go, it's like always congested. So I was like, okay, let me go there. And he's like, Hadiza, this child has gone. Oh, yeah, Uri. I was like, ah, doctor, not. He said, nothing. And I said, oh, that doctor said I should come for evacuation. He said, no need for evacuation. Yeah, come for
tamako. That's gone. Yeah, oh,
yeah.
I was like, okay. I think that first time, since it was my first time, and I felt indifferent. I didn't know what to feel, actually.
Mm.
I was like, okay, another one will come now. How can I so?
Yeah.
And I came back home the second time again. I can't remember all the years, but I mean, I took a gig for the second time and I was excited.
Mm.
The same thing, the same pattern. I go to the toilets, eat my blood, and I'll see blood. I went to the hospital again. They told me
the same thing,
the miscarriage.
Wow. Okay.
Then there's this, I don't know how to say, there's this guilt that you feel. Did you do something wrong? Is it that you forgot to take your medication? Or is it something like yesterday that caused it? Did I walk too fast yesterday?
Yes.
You will always feel guilty.
The life of a woman.
You always feel this guilt that you are the cause of it.
Yeah.
And so the third time again, I will not forget the third one. I think Adnan was not feeling fine. It was during the election. We were in the hospital. I was also not feeling fine. And my pregnancies are not always easy.
Oh.
So I was in the hospital with my child. I was not feeling fine. And I just came back. And when I came back, I think in the afternoon again, I went to ease myself. And I saw I was bleeding again. In fact, I just knew.
That it has happened.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, but you know, hope, I still went to the hospital. The same routine, come back. And you know already now when it's coming with these heavy cramps, it's painful cramps.
Yeah.
No hope.
It's the worst.
And I think for the first time, I didn't cry the first one. I didn't cry the second one.
Mm.
But I just cried. Like I was crying.
Yeah, it's a fear of the unknown.
Then
yeah.
I called my mom. Like I was just looking for who to, like, let me just release my anger one. And I called my mom. My mom, okay. Because I told her earlier that I've miscarried. But yeah, sorry, I had this again. Why? Then I took about in the evening again. I now called her. You did not call me. I don't sorry that I lost for the first time. Even today, they didn't chop me, say I care for my mother and I'm still alive. And I called her and she was like, sorry, her younger sister too, emergency, they had to rush her to the emergency CS, so they'd be running up and down. I was like, is your sister more important than me? You know, I'm seeing running.
Yeah.
And I was crying.
Yeah.
And I think she understood. And while I was shouting, my mom was telling me sorry. And I was like, when she was telling me sorry, I was shocked. Like,
from where to where?
Sorry.
So
that was like, okay, I'm doing too much. Let me calm down before this. Sorry,
you need to calm down. You need to calm down.
I let out. I cried. I was like, What am I doing wrong?
I think you did that cry.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. What am I doing wrong? Why am I losing my kids and all that? So Anna said, okay, fine. I went. I said, going to the hospital. Let me go for tests. Is this the third time it's happening consecutively? Let me go. I went. I think I went to different hospitals. And those tests are not funny. You open your leg, they will choke this one, choke that way.
Oh my God.
It's not funny.
Oh my God.
Blood tests, all these things, and you will be spending money. And everybody, and you know, the funny thing, they'll tell you that there's no problem, everything is fine.
Yeah.
And I went to see a specialist.
You'll be wishing if there's something that they can even pinpoint.
You
I will
them,
like, oh,
you want to have, let, at least if you know the problem, you can know where to tackle this issue from. You don't know the problem.
They always and don't already, have a solution to this.
Yes, I have my mom already saying, Koma, you are just some kind of kine. You know, people have to believe that in Niger State.
Yeah.
Everybody did not see who to catch is me, who did that offend. So many things. Then it was my husband. I think he was very supportive during that time, honestly. He was very, very supportive. Alhamdulillah. He made it easy. And he only just gave me one advice. He said, this thing that is happening to you now is happening to us. But one advice I'll give you, don't talk about it too much to many people, because it's normal you want to look sick for solution. But the more people you tell, you'll be start hearing different advices.
Opinions.
And before you know it, you find yourself doing what on a normal day you're not supposed to do. And I know he was referring to the whole maybe native doctor Malama thing. And please don't do that, because before you know, they will tell you somebody that is doing you. Let us know. Don't even bring people in. I like, okay, fine, no problem. I actually listened, I understood, because it's something that I don't want to compromise myself.
the fourth one. And there's one thing about myself is I'm not like trying to praise myself, but I've always been that person. I know how to console myself.
Something happens, very important. Sometimes you need to talk to yourself. Like you're having this conversation with yourself. You cannot lie to yourself now, right?
Yes, you can't lie. You can't deceive yourself.
Honestly,
he was very, very supportive. Alhamdulillah. Because, you know, if it was some men, they'll be like, you know, they'll even start giving you that pressure of, okay, maybe someone will start telling you, I'm going to marry
you. Shout out to Hadiza's husband.
You'll start doing what you're not supposed to do. So I had that support from him. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. The fourth time it happened again, I think it happened 6 times.
The fourth time
it happened, I just sat down. In fact, the funny thing is, I wanted to cry when it happened the fourth time. Then I looked around my window because we have 6 flats. So there's another lady there. We got married almost the same time. And she has never had even one child.
Oh, God.
So please. When I just finished experiencing my miscarriage, when I was bleeding, I knew I was having a miscarriage. And I saw her. She came out type quiet. You know, she looked very good. I don't know where she was going to. She was talking and she was going out.
My God.
Yes.
I love
it. And I looked at this person going through the... I'm like, see this person. Me, I even have one at home that is even calling me mommy. This one self, she don't even have one. And see where is she going to? Very unbothered.
Yeah.
Stop myself. Yeah. Me too. I don't.
You cleaned your tears.
I just fall again. Do you understand? I was I used to tell people, no matter what you're facing, there's always somebody that is going through worse than you are. The fifth one again, that one was not funny. I think I went home because I was not feeling fine. Then I had one aunt that came. She told me something. You know, she came to meet me. So she was trying to tell me that this thing is not normal, what I'm going through. Because I actually had on that sister again that she was going through something similar. Let us go here. Say me, I'm not going anywhere, please. I don't have strength. I don't have money to go and be dashing anybody. So the aunt called me. It was in the night, so she now called me and she was like, my mommy told her what is happening because she had some fertility issues when she was younger. So there's this doctor that she used then in Kaduna. The doctor is very, we know this anachronous, they are very
experienced.
So she was supposed to take me to go and see him. Maybe he has more experience, maybe what is wrong with me and all that. But she actually came in the night. She talked to my mom that she believes it's not ordinary. And my mom told her, they're leaving everything to God. But my mommy didn't want her, let it not be as if she's telling her no. She said, go and meet the Hadiza now.
She removed her hand. A very wise woman.
She removed her hand without actually, saying no to her. So she now came to meet me and she was saying, She woke me up. I feel even said sleep, And she woke me up so you don't have sense. Like, where is this coming from? That your mommy just told me that you've had 5 miscarriages in a row. Do you think it's normal? I was like, auntie, if this thing is normal, if it's even somebody that is doing me, I've left that person with God. Me, I've left the person with God. But me, I don't have power. Because I won't lie to you. I'm a human too. At the point, I was even thinking, is this somebody that is doing me? I was like, I can't. See me, I don't have power for that. I'm not going to. She said, Then she now started saying something that entered Aaron, she said something. She said, you don't have sense. Look at you now. You are young. Your husband is young. And you think your husband is only that one child. You'll be satisfied with one child. Don't you know that if you cannot give birth again, your husband is going to marry another woman?
Oh my God, again.
I see if I have 10 children today, if a man wants to marry, yes,
20 children.
It's not about that. Shina said, you said if your husband was destined to marry, who do you think is going to prefer? You that have only one and the person that have 3-4 children. Who do you think will control the house? Who do you think who is the family going to love and other things? You know, she said this thing and the way she was saying it, at the point of this woman is making sense. You are starting with your husband right now.
You have to smash the ground.
Now, somebody will come now. They'll be giving you 50,000 naira because you have one child. That one will be giving her plenty of money and you cannot do anything about it. That. Go then give my, if anything happened, they say you should leave one wife. It's you, he will leave now because, honestly, I won't lie.
Auntie, don't go far.
It got to me. It got to... I never thought of on my own. I couldn't sleep that night.
Oh,
I picked up my phone.
I called my husband. The moment he picked, I stared to para. I was crying. No wonder you are not bothered because you have a plan. But I used to feel ashamed of myself. I said, you have a plan. Because you know that you can marry more wives and have all the kids you want. That's why you'll be telling me, ki hao kuri, because you know that you have options.
To be fair, we have seen stories unfold like this. And
yes,
it's the same.
Yes. Yeah.
Happens.
Mm-hmm. I was talking, and this man just kept quiet. He didn't say, bim. He just kept quiet. He didn't say anything. When I was done and I started crying again, you know, said, I just said, me, I know that you are not the one that is talking. This is not you.
Oh,
I'm very sure that somebody said something. You see, the reason why I told you that you should not be talking anyhow.
Yeah.
He said, even if you have 1 million children today, I will still marry. Sure, you know. I said, but at least, because I would like and turn over. You get
it? Oh, God, said, please.
Woman, all these women, like, yeah, something like them. I was like,
crying, you know. It's all the emotions. You didn't know what to do with them, actually. Yeah.
I didn't know what to do, and he was like, you know what? Yeah, he now said, yes, he just asked me one question. If God said that it's only this one child you are going to have on earth, like if you are not going to ever have any other child again, what will you do?
Nothing.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so you know that you cannot do anything about it. It's not in your hands. But I said, yes, need to stop worrying yourself about it. My kid is like, you know you are going to the hospital tomorrow, right? I said, yes. Just go and hear what the doctor will see and let us see what's going to happen. I was like, okay, no problem. So I went, I did all the tests again. I came back, did some more tests, and they will tell you everything is fine. Everything.
Yeah.
They cannot. Even I went to one particular specialist. That one, they are very good with anything, fertility and all that. In fact, this had the doctor too. She was looking at me too. I was looking at her. She said, during your first pregnancy, did you do prolonged labor? I said, I didn't do prolonged labor. How did you breastfeed? I said, normal. How was your period? I said, everything is normal.
It was okay.
Everything, like, you are trying to pinpoint where the issue is coming from, nothing.
Yeah.
You know what? I just told myself, see, I was exhausted. I was tired.
Of course.
I went on Google. I was reading. And I said, okay, since everything is okay with me, I said, maybe my husband's sperm is deformed. Maybe that is why.
No, all this is valid. All this is, all
it's valid now.
Valid.
I came to meet him and I told him, okay, it's time for you to go for tests. He said, him is not going anywhere.
Of course.
What do you mean?
It will take a lot of convincing.
You know, I said, him is not going to go anywhere that they're going to choke him injection. I said, so me that I've been doing it, am I still doing
this? He said, you are the one that's always saying you want to go.
Me, I will not go anywhere.
Yeah.
When he saw that I was about, he said, he's going to go on one condition. If it's just to give the sample, fine. But if he sees needle, he's not going to do any other thing again.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I said, there's no even need. Let him just even stay where he is myself. Even I was exhausted. Yeah. Anybody that comes with a solution, man, I'll just listen to you, but I'm not interested.
Of course.
I just left it for God. I just removed my mind.
Exhausting.
And you know one thing? People were not nice.
Because
you don't know me, you don't know where I'm coming from, you don't know my story. You understand? Yeah. People will just give backhanded, unsolicited advice and comments. Somebody will even look at me and
unsolicited.
Somebody like, they're like, what are you doing? Kina kuna only family planning. There's even one lady, a random customer, you just bought something from me. I went to deliver to you. I think then Adnan was 4 years plus. And she said, and I told her that, yes, it's my son. He's my first child. Where is his younger one? I said, no, he's the only one for now. She just looked at me. What are you still waiting for? You don't want to keep at me?
Imagine.
When I started explaining my predicament to a random stranger.
How it take concern now?
See, I have someone that told me, there was a time, I think when I experienced the fourth miscarriage, that when I saw that my neighbor, that I didn't cry.
Yeah.
So I called Adnan, my boy. I like, okay. And I did a selfie with him. Even appreciating, at least I have this one.
Yeah.
I just did a selfie and I posted it on my WhatsApp status. Then somebody commented on my WhatsApp status. He said, then I was doing my master's. No, I didn't. I was even done with my master's, but he didn't even know that. But all they knew that I was going to school. Then, and I was very serious with my business. Like, my business, I was really doing well for myself then. In fact, that journey affected my business because anytime I take in bread rest, you know, I would get so many things.
Of course.
I was doing well in my business. I would still be posting my business online. Will I come and be posting on WhatsApp status?
hey, I just had a miscarriage. Everybody cried for me.
No.
So I just posted me and my son on my WhatsApp status.
Mm.
And you know what this guy had the audacity to tell me? He just told me under, he said, don't go and face, he said it in Hausa, but he said, don't go and face your family. Kensa, Ori Fire, the Boko Agaba. That's why you have to face to go your young family. Like, you've refused.
That's not a nice thing to say. Oh my God.
Like, you don't know.
People are insensitive. This is coming from a man. And there's another woman that maybe did not tell you, but she's thinking it.
Yes. And I was related to him. And you know what I did? I was like, no, I'm not going to let this slide. I sent a voice note. I called him. He didn't pick. I sent a voice note to him.
Yeah.
I said, me, I'm better than you.
I love it.
Thank you.
He said, why? I said, at least me, I'm married. You are even older than me. In the whole of this world, you know, see, because of your bad character, nobody has refused to marry you.
Even the women, they look for husband.
Even women, the way women are desperate for husband, you've not even seen one person that will marry you because you don't have money that you wife or you have bad character. And if you're a woman, I love it. I said, if you're a woman, I would have understood. Maybe a man has not come knocking, but you, anywhere you go and knock, there's no house somebody will tell you, no, why are you not married? Mm-hmm. You know, so, I was just joking with you. I said, even miss, I'm joking.
Yeah, let's joke.
Let's joke.
I'm joking.
Yeah. Since we are all joking here, let's joke.
Mm. In fact, people were spreading rumors. Somebody said that, in fact, there's one rumor that when I heard it, me and my husband, we were laughing so much we fell from the bed. Like, they said that I did our own kwadayi. So I now came, I realized that my husband
there's no money.
I'm refusing to have more kids because I'm
going to be married. Oh my God, please stop it, Adiza. This cannot be real.
I'm telling you.
This is now you will not say this cannot be real, but this one is something that
when I heard this, but it didn't shock me. I didn't have to laugh. Like, how somebody will sit down. You know, when people don't know what you're about, they just start screaming. Then someone close to me is there saying that even these miscarriages, I'm lying. You get to Ghana.
Oh, God.
It wasn't funny then. You understand?
But that guy Adiza did not block me. No, but no one that she was blocking people.
No, you know what? The blocking thing actually was when I became pregnant.
But you am an advocate of blocking, Rashida.
Yeah.
Nobody is stressed you.
After the sixth miscarriage, I didn't even tell my mom. I didn't even tell my mother-in-law because they were already bothered.
Yeah.
Like, they were already having
So
I didn't even tell them. It was just between me and my husband. When I was pregnant with Hamdan, when I knew I was pregnant again, I was even excited, honestly. I was like, going online, I just read something. I read about Zamzam water and all that. I just strongly believed in it.
Yeah.
I told my husband, go and get me. Anyway, you're going to get original Zamzam water. Go and get it for me. Got it for me every morning, at least for 7 days. I'll pray, I'll drink it, I'll rub it on my tummy. And I just told God that please, this pregnancy, if it's the best for me, let it stay. I don't have strength or anything. I just put so much faith towards soul in that, and I just let and I remove my mind. But I was still anxious because anytime I go to we,
you are human now.
Yes,
I'll be thinking I will see
you
blood.
Wouldn't want to even look like in case.
And that pregnancy, I suffered, though, because I couldn't. In fact, I was so sick that if customers will be calling me, I'll be blocking them. They are disturbing my life.
Oh, God, please.
Yes. You get a kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So, alhamdulillah. In fact, that was why I named him Hamdan. And you know the funny thing, the doctor gave me a drug. He said, you're going to, because of my history, I was on so many medications. There's even one he gave me that he said, this one you take it till 34 weeks. I kid you not, after the 10th week, I stopped taking that medicine. I was tired.
Yeah.
I was noticing those hormonal drugs were making me like free.
Yes, yes.
And other things. And I hate being very dependent and vulnerable to other people.
Yes, yes.
Alhamdulillah, I put to bed. I gave birth to Hamdan. I couldn't even believe it until I had that boy. That was my rainbow baby.
Alhamdulillah.
I so much wanted a girl, but at a point I didn't care. Boy, girl, let me just have a girl child. And it came. So this just made me understand, like, if me, I had even one child, I went through this, and people could be still be this me. What about people that don't even have one? What are they going through?
Yeah, sister.
People can be mean, honestly. You don't start saying rubbish that you don't know. You get.
Yeah.
And this is my third one.
Like, you said something, Hadiza. You said, it's not your business. And it's actually nobody's business.
Not.
Yeah. Even your family, like, it's between you and your husband.
Of
but you
course.
know your family are your loved ones. That's why you inform them, because they wish you the best.
Yes.
And they will help you pull through. Talk more of somebody that is outside.
And you know one thing.
Unsolicited advice and opinions.
Okay. I'm someone that I believe, like, if I have a genuine friend, if I know my place in your life and you have a place in my life, there are people that are close to me that's okay. I have close friends. Like, I had one or two that I would say, okay, this is what is going on with me. Mm. Like, I believe they also have that right. You know, I even had a friend that on her own, like, Hadiza, what's up? Naji, how you doing? And I would say, like, okay, this is it. And I know that sincerely they meant well for me. Okay, she's just trying to proper solution. There's even one that she said, yeah, I know that Ada. She brought me 40 rubber. Now she said, yeah, go and be reading this one. People, it comes from a place of genuity,
sincere.
But random people, like, you get what I'm trying to say. Yes. A random customer, somebody you don't even know, you just come online. Even if you are okay, you ask, okay, how far? Okay, give us another one. So it's only God that gives. I'll say, and like a cow over. Shut up.
And we don't even know what people are going through. Because I remember one time Hadiza put up a picture, and the first thing that came to my mind, Kai, sometimes we can be stupid as human beings anyway. The first thing that came to my mind was, oh, you look good. Because I've seen she has lost weight and she was just looking slimmer than she used to be. Mm. I didn't even know she had gone through all this series of miscarriages. I just looked at her and the first thing that came was, you look good. And she was just like, oh, it was her. She said, it's this pregnancy that suffered me. Me, I was even asking, I said, Adisa, please come and give me the recipe that you used to sleep down.
Yeah, you didn't say, nah, Adisa,
I didn't even like the way I looked.
Yes, because of course.
After this, my third child, in fact, I looked so sick. This is my third child when I put birth. In fact, I suffered hemorrhoids, so many things.
Oh God!
In fact, I was blocking people more this time around, because if I open my mouth to talk, I'll start throwing up.
Block them.
Yes.
Block.
Anything that will make you happy, please do it. Yeah.
The pregnancy was so bad that they used to call me Chroma at home, because if I talk, I will start vomiting. So I don't talk. If I want to pass any message to my kids or my husband, I will type it. I don't go out, and I was always spitting. I think through labor room, I would be throwing spit, and I couldn't eat, so I became so thin. In fact, and people were looking at me like, yeah. Is anything wrong with you?
Yeah.
And that was when I started looking manageable, I even posted that picture. And I
can you imagine?
I was looking for it to add weight. And she was like, that's named that.
So we actually don't know what people are going through. And we should just be kind with our words.
Not at all.
Alhamdulillah. I learned, like, you know, it's from my own experience. Toshiki, since I married young, I've never been that type of person to poke nose into other people's business, actually.
Yeah.
But it has also taught me that life can happen to anybody. Like,
yes.
Anybody.
You don't know what other people are going through.
Yes.
Then you should hold on to God. Like, now I've been patient about it, and I waited for God's time. Look at now, I have three. If I didn't tell you that this is what, unless maybe you see my first son and my second son, the age gap may say, okay. Still, you don't know, up to now, so people still say, you took long, what happened like this? I'll just shake my head.
If only you knew.
Sometimes, if I want to be me, I'll say that's how I planned it. Sometimes, I'll just tell them, how can I lie so?
And Kalas. That's it. Yeah.
I don't owe you any explanation. I don't know you.
Even
if I know you, it's not your business.
It's not.
And it's very important for people as men. If a man is listening to this, also your wife is going through this, that is the time for you to be the most supportive, honestly, because so many things are going through our head. You just imagine what my aunt told me that time. Imagine if I only for that, I didn't have somebody to fall back to that would have please put my head back.
Yes.
Maybe that would have been somewhere I'm not supposed to be now.
Yeah.
Chasing what is not lost and other things.
I know. That's so, where depression falls in. And you don't even know what to do with it. Because sometimes some people even get depressed and they don't even know that it's depression. They because it's the first time something strange is happening to them and they don't even know how to go about it. Hadiza, thank you so much for sharing your
story. Thank you very much.
We really
thank
appreciate
very much for having me.
Yeah, we really appreciate you coming here. This was insightful. It's full. This was fun.
Yeah,
this
is our
longest episode ever. Thank you for being here and thank you for honoring our invitation.
Thanks for having me.
For listening this far. If you're listening, thank you so much for being here. Please don't forget to subscribe, like, share, comment.
This has been a lovely one, the longest episode, guys. And I'm sure you guys know why. We had a very special guest. Hadiza was giving us back to back, as you can see. You can follow us on all our social media handles. It's at the Chill Sisters Podcast, both on Instagram and TikTok.